Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Screen Heroes. My name is Ray. I am one of your regular hosts. I am joined by my other awesome regular hosts, Ryan.
Hello.
And Derek.
Hi.
How are you boys?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Doing all right.
Well, yeah. Wait, which is it?
All of the above.
That was really confusing, Derek.
All of the above. How are you, Ryan?
I'm good.
Good, good, yeah. Good.
How are you? Wait, no, I'm okay.
How are you, Ray?
I'm fine. I've had better days. I saw a random patient penis today, and I was very upset.
And you like were in an eye doctor, which makes that even more rare, I imagine.
It does. It does.
Like the penis waited in line nicely, and that's why it was patient? Or...
No, no. So, I work at an eye doctor. Patient came in for his appointment, was wearing very loose sweatpants and no underwear, and it just kind of flopped out. And when we mentioned it, like when we mentioned it, he was very unapologetic. He was like, "Well, deal with it." And
were
like,
they sweat shorts?
No, they were.
They had a flap of some kind.
Yeah, they had like the boxer flap
on sweatpants.
So yeah. Okay, so I have a pair
were, like,
of Star
the,
Wars
the
ones.
Flannel I guess
the
kinds.
Oh, lounge pants.
Sure, I'm sorry.
I was thinking like the old school sweatpants. You
no.
Know what I mean?
No.
Okay, lounge pants. I can understand it, lounge pants. Still not good.
No, you're... But, like, the gentleman was 87.
Oof. Well, so they really sagged. I mean, they were hanging low.
Wear some underwear. Like, come on, man.
Well, literally, come on. Don't wear lounge pants outside of your house. Unless, like, women are probably... It's easier for them to get away with it because they don't have something that's going to flop out. But,
that's
a real thing that could happen, so...
It was just
wear them at your house and leave
them
there.
It was a rough day, man. It was a rough day when you just, like, it was a dick pic, but in person. Like,
and it wasn't sent on purpose.
It wasn't.
So that's good, at least.
I guess.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It's the thought or not no thought.
We are Screen Heroes, a movie podcast.
Yeah, not the penis discussion.
I feel like the more we do this, the more maybe our listeners want to hear like some personal stories. And opening up with a silly anecdote is always
kind of
funny.
A lot of podcasts
do
that, actually. Yeah. So it's not a bad point.
Yeah, so if you guys hate it, if you never want another dick story, just let me know in
Rachel's
the comments.
Rachel's going to tell a new dick story every week. So she has a new one every week, unfortunately.
I am
a new dick, but like a new story.
I am a public cosplayer. I do get dick encounters way more than I want to.
Derek gave me a look that was
fascinating.
He was very disappointed in me.
Okay.
So anyway, we are here to discuss the future of Marvel.
So much Marvel lately.
With Endgame and the new Spider-Man From Home trailer, small little bits and pieces that we get from the Disney Plus. Releases, I guess, small little snippets of information they give us. We're going to speculate, we're going to predict, we're going to do objective predictions as well as things we just kind of want to see as fans. And yeah, that's going to be our podcast tonight. So we'll start with a little bit of news. We have time to do news. First of all, let's see. Box office. Derek, you want to do the box office?
Sure. Let's talk box office. Let's do it. Endgame made a lot of money.
Big surprise. Everyone
and that's
is very
the
surprised.
End of the box office.
That's the only movie in theaters now. No, so it
might as well be.
It's doing quite well. So it made $145.8 million domestically this past weekend, which was its second weekend. So it made more in its second weekend than a lot of movies ever make, which is impressive. The Intruder made $11 million. Long Shot came out actually fairly strong with just over 10. It's actually getting pretty good reviews. That's,
for a rom-com, yeah. That's pretty impressive. Those movies, like, while they do well on off...
Is that the one with Charlize Theron and Seth Rogen?
It is. So far, to kind of give you an idea here, so Endgame is well over $2 billion now. It's at 2.19. Going into now its third week.
It's now the second highest grossing movie of all time.
Second highest grossing movie of all time behind Avatar.
It's only a few mil behind Avatar at this point. Yeah. Like, in 9 months, Avatar grossed this amount of money, almost $3 billion,
like
2.7, 2.8.
Endgame or something,
yeah,
right?
So Endgame's going to do it. It's a matter of time. I think Endgame could also be like the longest straight run. First $3 billion movie. Like, I think it's going to break a lot of records.
I mean, the odds of it being the first $3 billion movie are pretty high. It does start to get some competition this weekend with Detective Pikachu and The Hustle.
Yeah.
People will start seeing other things. But, you know, I mean, so what's interesting is if we take a look at the week as a whole, though.
Well, I mean, Black Panther and Captain Marvel hit their billion well after they had been out. So even if Avengers slows down after this week, it's very likely that they'll still hit it within the first month.
The really impressive thing is, I kind of mentioned this last week, I was curious what the drop-off percentage would be.
Right.
Because the drop-off percentage is usually used to kind of mark what people really think of a movie, because if a movie opens really big, the expectations were high, but if it was really terrible, then like nobody sees it the following weekend. And in this case for Endgame, I thought it might have a similar effect simply because everybody ran out to go see it and there wouldn't be anybody left to go see it by the second week. And I mean, don't get me wrong, it had a good drop off, 58.7% box office drop off, but that's a lot lower than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to break 60%.
There's a lot of people going and seeing it three or four times, which is crazy. I don't ever see a movie more than once in theaters, really. So
we saw it twice.
Yeah.
My cap is I've never seen anything more than three times. Usually I'll see something again because I'll take somebody else, like, you know, nieces and nephews, my mom, somebody like that.
To be fair, now, in the past, you haven't had this membership that you have with AMC where you get to see X amount of movies.
No, but like Avatar, The Dark Knight, I've seen three times each in theaters.
Right, but you had to pay extra for each of those every time. This, right. You don't. It's all included in your
membership.
So that's
a
little
bit of a change. We did go to Alamo for the second viewing.
Okay.
So we have paid twice for it.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. I wanted the Mondo glasses, and I wanted to try that. They had a themed milkshake that had caffeine in it. It was delicious. Stay up through the end game shake. It was awesome.
Thank you to Formatted Orc, who just joined us in chat.
Hello. Anyway, yeah, so not the drop-off was not as big as I thought it was going to be.
Right. Well, that's good. That's good. So it's doing crazy. Intruder and Longshot actually did much better than they probably rightfully should have, considering they went up against Endgame in its second week.
The biggest movie of all time.
Yeah. So let's move on. Today we got news that a new Star Wars trilogy will be starting in 2022.
Which isn't super surprising because didn't they hire Rian Johnson to start doing, write his own trilogy? So we assume that's what that is. We don't
know.
It's gotta
be. It has to be. That's
what
this is,
right? Yeah, I mean, it seems likely.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get episode 9, you know, this year, of course. There are some other Star Wars movies that are supposedly also in the works that are not part of this new trilogy.
Right.
So we might see other stuff fill in those blanks.
Well, we know that Mandalorian debuts this year on Disney Plus. It's going to be available on day one. We also know that it has already been greenlit for a second season. Mm-hmm. And we know that a Knights of the Old Republic something project is in the works. They keep using the word project, so it makes me feel like they're waffling on whether it's movie or series. I would actually prefer a series so they could do more content of it, but that's just me.
And also Rian Johnson wouldn't have to be directing it.
My theory for this is that they want it to be a series, but they have to wait to see what the subscriber numbers for Disney Plus look like, to see if they can afford to do $200 million series for Star Wars at the same time. And if they can't, then they might have to make a movie.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm guessing is the situation.
Could be.
you know.
So a lot of Fox merger news. Yeah. The Avatar sequels, I guess 2 through 4.
Two through five.
Oh my God. Have been completely pushed back. Like, the more it gets pushed back, the less I feel like it's going to happen. Like, we make it 2 because
2's already in production.
Right. But like, has it ever gone really well when this much of a gap is in between sequels?
Well, no one's ever tried what they're trying before. So this would have been the 10-year mark for Avatar. Zombieland's doing the 10-year sequel this year, for example. It also came out in 2009. So, I mean, it's happened. What's weird with this one is that they didn't just greenlight a sequel. They didn't just greenlight a new trilogy. They greenlit 4 more films.
Well, when James Cameron wants to make something, then you say, okay, James, how much money do you need?
Right.
I mean, usually, yeah, especially when it's currently, at least right now, the highest grossing movie of all
exactly.
time. So, you know, they're all supposed to still be happening. 2 is in production. They've even casted some new people recently, like Michelle Yeoh. So I would be shocked if we don't see at least 3 of them.
I don't know.
I don't have an opinion one way or the other.
I didn't really like the first one, but because of the hype, I always felt like I was in the minority, and that's totally fine. I don't mind it. I just feel like there is significant precedence for sequels that come out 10 years plus doing very poorly. That's all.
Like, I don't know.
Sin City and let's see, Anchorman, Godfather. Like, it's just...
Don't you have Toy Story 3 and The Incredibles?
Yeah. Pixar's a different kind of beast than...
So, I mean, it can be good. It's not always good. I mean, Jurassic World may not have been the smartest movie in the world, but it did make a freaking fortune. So
it's just weird to me that the biggest movie in the world for the longest time wasn't capitalized right away. You know?
I mean, that was probably James Cameron not knowing what to do next with it.
Yeah.
You know, because he claims that this was a story that he had spent like 20 years working on, and a lot of us poked fun at that because it's essentially Fern Gully, but
or Dances with Wolves or Pocahontas. Like, there's a lot of stories already out there that are like this.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's really Fern Gully. Like,
it's true.
And I just think technologically, he wanted the cool thing about Avatar, because I don't think the movie itself is really anything special, but the technology behind it is really cool.
Right. At the time, it was cutting edge. It was brand new stuff. James Cameron has always been ahead of the times as far as his filmmaking goes. But really, aside from the Terminator and Aliens, the stories that he has put out has been lackluster. And his director's cuts are notoriously worse than his theatrical cuts. He gets in his own way.
I mean, maybe sometimes, but you still have Titanic and you still have Avatar, you know, which are 2 massive successes. So, I mean, it was a matter of time. I think maybe it took so long because he was waiting to find some next technological leap to leverage. Mm-hmm. And maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll use ray tracing in a movie.
Who knows?
Goodness. So, in other Fox Disney merger news, Gambit is officially canceled.
To no one's surprise.
No one is surprised. Everybody expected it. Like,
very few people care.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time they mentioned
Channing Tatum cares.
Yes.
I don't even
did.
Think Channing Tatum really cares, honestly. He's got plenty of work.
He was trying to get the hype around the Gambit thing, just like Ryan Reynolds and the Deadpool thing, but it just wasn't working out, like,
because he's not Ryan Reynolds
and Gambit is not Deadpool.
Well, we didn't even have a previous performance to go off of to really root for. Like, everybody loved Ryan Reynolds as Wade Wilson in Wolverine Origins. Like, even if the rest of the movie is crap, everybody was like, no, he's hilarious. So
it's true.
Fair enough.
New Mutants is unfortunately pushed to 2020. Another push. This is the 3rd or 4th push.
And this one's a long push.
It is.
April 2020, almost basically a full year.
Yeah. The movie was officially supposed to be released in August 2018, and now we're not going to see it until 2020. Movies haven't been pushed this much since like the early 2000s.
I'm really confused by the whole thing. Like, Macy Williams was interviewed a few weeks ago about it, and she's really frustrated because they just won't really talk about it. So even the actors don't know what's going on now with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a relatively young cast. People age, so if you have 2 or 3 years between the reshoots, like, that's probably noticeable.
Well, even now, like, the franchise is dead, right? Like, they're not coming back for a New Mutants sequel.
Yeah.
Well, now, hang on a second. If it's really disconnected from the Dark Phoenix saga of X-Men films, they might.
I'm sure it's just a wonderful film with them pushing it, you know, 2 years.
I have a theory, though. There's no way that movie cost a lot to make.
No.
So from Disney's perspective, the loss can't be much, right? It's got to be a drop in the bucket for them to just say, forget the movie altogether if it's just not in a releasable state. However, if it is completely separate from the rest of the X-Men films, and they are keeping Deadpool going, keep that in mind. They're not rebooting the Deadpool stuff. So if that's the case, maybe they want to do reshoots to introduce new characters that they will carry forward in the new MCU with the X-Men.
That seems like a bit of a stretch, but maybe.
It seems it's very possible.
Reason. Otherwise, why would Disney work this hard on such a small film? With characters nobody's really that invested in yet.
I don't know. I guess we'll see in a year.
You know, that's all.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about what they paid to purchase the characters, the actual cost of New Mutants can't be very much by comparison. So, that's my theory. My hot take.
Okay.
Shout out to Midnight Pearl, who just joined. Hi, back. I'm gonna start shouting out people so that people are encouraged to watch us because we're fun. We're fun.
Speak for yourself. I refuse to be fun.
All right, I'm fun.
I'm all right.
Derek is cynical, and Ryan is pessimistic.
Sure, among other things.
You're both very pragmatic and realistic. And
so, in other news. What else we got? I mean,
oh yeah,
Disney announced a bunch of dates for untitled Marvel films.
Well, that's later on. I put that later on in the speculation thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Russo brothers are interested in directing a Batman film now.
So out of context, yes, they are. But no, the person asked him, if you were going to direct a DC film, what sounds good to you? And they said, well, if I had to pick one, it would probably be Batman. That isn't them going, oh man, I'm going to direct the next Batman film. Like,
no.
Come on, that's...
Objection, Your Honor, leading the witness.
Yeah.
Cherry picking and... that's exactly it. Like,
yeah. It's fine. Like, I'm glad. I would go watch that movie, although it would be kind of weird seeing a bunch of community people in a Batman movie, but...
I agree. I wouldn't like that at all.
I don't know that their tone for a lot of their movies that I've seen would really suit a Batman film, but, I mean, I'd be up for it. They're good directors.
I mean, yeah, they have enough clout at the moment where I would certainly give them an opportunity.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just an example of clickbaity headline stuff that constantly tries to just pit the two universes against each other. I saw a headline earlier today about BVS fans are upset at the parallels in Endgame. I'm like, what are you even talking
about?
Was
one of the characters named, mother's name Martha or something, like, and they just didn't go through that?
I didn't give the clickbait the click. Okay. I don't, because... You guys know I'm a BVS fan. I have no idea what they could possibly be talking about.
Yeah. It seems like a stretch.
I'm guessing the ending of the somebody doing the something to save everybody.
Is that a parallel?
I guess. Because, you know, there's no other superhero or any other film that's ever done that before. So clearly a parallel.
I can see why DC fans feel a little beat up here and there. And why they think that Marvel fans are a little annoying at times. But more of my nerdy friends, and I have like a huge group of nerds. We have a huge circle that we cross the streams. Like we're fans of both and we're able to...
With all your friends. You're such a huge friend group. Come on.
Oh my God.
Cocky. I'm sitting over here
we
with two friends.
We have the same circle, guys. Like,
that's the three of us.
Right. That's it.
That's a
it's
triangle.
It's actually not a full circle. Yeah.
A triangle.
No, it's just another example. Just clickbaity BS. Just kind of drum up drama.
Yeah,
you know, where really none exists.
It just irritated me every time I saw that.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Every time I saw the that article get shared by somebody, I just wanted to smack them in the face.
Well, it's like the meme, too, where it's like Marvel can make 22 films, but they'll never come close to these two masterpieces. And it's Man of Steel and BVS. And I'm like, oh, buddy.
I would put Man of Steel above several MCU movies for what it's worth, but...
But those aren't even the two best DCU EU worlds of DC films.
No, no, that's true.
So, you know, anybody can make a meme. Anyway, let's move on. What else?
All right. So now we move on to Marvel news, and we're going to start our portion of the podcast where we like delve into stuff. So
spoiler warning for Endgame, just in case.
It's very possible. We'll round it out before I go on our little break. Coming out this week, The Hustle, Detective Pikachu, and Tolkien. So check those out. Go see movies like we do. And we're breaking. We'll be back.
The Heroes Podcast Network is expanding with a brand new show, Kaiju Curry House. Three guys from the UK will be bringing you a fortnightly show premiering on the 9th of April 2019. Our show will be discussing everything relating to Kaiju, our childhood memories of discovering Kaiju, our hopes of upcoming Kaiju movies, where to get merchandise, lesser known Kaiju movies, games that star giant monsters, comics, books, TV shows, art. Did I miss anything? So, we invite you to listen to our ramblings, embrace your love of kaiju, and be part of the show. Drop us a line on Twitter at UK Kaiju and support us at patreon.com/heroespodcasts.
All right, guys, we're back, and now is officially spoiler time. So, we are going to be spoiling Endgame potentially. We already did that last week, but, you know, it kind of trails off into this one, as well as the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer. So, if you haven't seen that, invest in that for really quickly.
It's a very cheap investment.
It is, you know, three minutes of your time.
Two minutes and 30 seconds of your time or so.
Yeah, so 3 minutes total with searching. It's good. Yeah. All right, so that trailer dropped, and it was huge on Endgame trailers, which is why it was important that the embargo lifted today, yesterday, yeah, for spoilers, you know, for Endgame.
It was very planned, yes. I'm sure.
Yes. They've never done that before. They've never had, like, a spoiler and then it lift kind of thing. So.
And they've never had a spoiler warning before a trailer that I remember.
Right. That was interesting. I do want to say that, like, I appreciate they gave it the two full weekends, which is what I was saying was, I thought, a fair amount of time for something like this. So
you felt validated?
I did. I felt validated by the Russos.
I also feel like it was a good move to have a trailer completely void of Endgame spoilers, and we had no idea when or where it was going to connect or fall in place. And then one that recognized Endgame. Like, I like the two different trailers. Yeah. I feel like they both represented the film well as, you know, connecting to the rest of the universe.
Yeah, the new trailer is really a lot of fun. It definitely gives a whole new meaning to Far From Home. Mm-hmm. Since, you know, there's other Earths, guys. It's a multiverse caused by the snap. Which snap?
We don't know. There were three.
Yeah.
We have no idea.
I assume they're, like, I feel like they're implying that it was Tony Snap, but I think it's got to be the second snap.
Yeah, it's got to be Hulk's, right?
Well, no, I'm talking about the one that destroys the Infinity Stones. So there's actually four snaps.
Oh my god, you're right. I was thinking that it had to be the Hulk because he brought in new, like, people, like, right?
See,
I don't know.
Well, what the trailer says is that the snap caused a rift essentially between the different universes in the multiverse, like breaches.
That's fair.
So that's why I was thinking it was the second snap, because destroying the Infinity Stones might have created instability in the universe.
The Russos confirmed that he just reduced them to atoms, that the stones still exist. They're just on an atomic level.
And that's the conservation of matter. But, you know.
Thanks for the physics lesson, Russos.
Most of us appreciated it because we forgot about it.
But theoretically, disintegrating them or whatever could cause like an instability. So I wonder if that's what they're playing off of.
I hope we figure out which one it is. Although if they never address which snap, I'll be fine. My life will go on.
I don't
on.
Think we need to waste a bunch of time on that. You know,
right?
Maybe it's in the movie. Maybe it's cumulative. Each snap caused more and more instability.
Starting today,
I mean, that makes more sense to me. That each one had its own bit of damage that it did.
Because you're changing the whole universe,
timelines, and everything else. Yeah.
Star Trek has an episode about that and warp drive.
It took how long?
Yep,
25 minutes.
It happened.
All the articles starting today, like I saw three different articles, three different people, three different websites that were like, where did Valkyrie get her winged horse? And I was like, oh, you're really digging it at the bottom of the barrel. Like, if that was your number one problem with Endgame, is where she got the winged horse. Like,
you mean the Pegasus?
No, all the articles said winged horse. Not Pegasus. We have a word for it, and nobody is saying
it. That's why those people are asking that question, because they have no idea. Come on.
She's Valkyrie.
Yeah,
that's
why.
She got the Pegasus.
She keeps it in her pocket dimension, in her back pocket. It's like, where does Cyclops' optic beam come from? Where does Logan's meat come from when he has to heal? The meat dimension, or Cyclops. I think it's literally called the meat dimension.
Join us next week when we rebrand Screen Heroes as the meat dimension.
That wouldn't be a bad podcast name.
Veto. It's a cool trailer, though. I like the idea of there being multiple universes. I like the idea of them pitching Mysterio as, like, a good guy who...
Except, come on.
Like, that is Mysterio's entire shtick. Is screwing with people,
lying, deception.
Like, he is a fraud, he's a con man, like, he's a trickster.
Nothing he said is real. He's not from Earth 2. He's not nothing. None of that is real.
Well, he's not from Earth 2. He's
or
from,
whatever.
Well, that's the DC Earth. Yes. We can't use that.
He's not from any other Earth. He's lying about that.
He's lying about his powers.
I'm sure it's true that there's other rifts or now or whatever, but yeah, he's lying about all that stuff.
I maintain that his powers are completely a fraud too, and that they're all smoke and mirrors, because that's what it was, or like it's power theft or something.
He's a magician for what it, you know.
Yeah.
Glorified magician.
And he's doing the syndrome thing where he wants to pretend
create problems so that he can fix them. And
Poison Ivy has done that multiple times.
But I'm thinking maybe they don't want to go that route. Maybe they want to reimagine the character, and they have an opportunity to do that now.
Keep your hope alive, Derek.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do.
I don't want to ruin it for you.
It's nice. I understand that we want our characters to be somewhat in line with their comic book versions, right? And we want costumes to be reminiscent of their comic book costumes and things of that nature. And he's going to have the sphere helmet, like, which is pretty cool. But it would be interesting if they maybe did something different with this one, because he's from a different Earth. It's the multiverse. They can do different things with it, right? They have some flexibility. And they could make him a hero.
Yeah, but they're not going to.
They could.
Like, I watched earlier Kevin Smith filmed a reaction to the trailer, and knowing that he's written Mysterio before, I was interested in what he had to say about it. And he also said, yeah, that's nothing that Mysterio said or said about Mysterio in this trailer is true. So
I'm going to be really disappointed if Spider-Man does not go to another Earth after that trailer. I will
be
disappointed.
Oh my gosh.
Because this has really set up my expectations. At this point, this is the first Spider-Man movie I have been excited about in over a decade.
Well, he looks awesome. Like, the trailer made him look really cool. The scene where he's in the bank or whatever, museum or whatever it is, with the Iron Spider suit, and he's like shooting webs, and like the tentacles are coming out and blocking stuff, and then he has a little joke with the cops. Like, that was really cool. You know, we haven't seen something like that in a Spider-Man movie before. The Tobey Maguire movies were not like that.
No, I know. I just, the idea of the multiverse, I always love
that part is what I'm least excited for.
But it's a great way for them to bring in.
But that has nothing to do with Spider-Man.
I mean, it does.
Because it's happening in his movie, but that doesn't.
No, I mean, Spider-Man deals with the multiverse quite often.
Does he? I mean, I know he did into the movie, or into the Spider-Verse movie that came out, but in the comic books, that's not like his cup of tea.
I don't mean.
It's their responsibility as the MCU, 23 movies in, to set up multiple different platforms that they could use later on. This is a way to bring in the Fox characters if they wanted to. However, it's also a way to set up for Secret War to be the next big thing, because the multiverse would be able to bring in a ton of different characters, go off world, and, you know, he could do the symbiote suit and all this kind of stuff. So it's not something that I was really a fan of, especially since we've seen it kind of mishandled on Flash at times. Yeah. Like, it's also been really cool on Flash.
I think this stuff would have been better in a Doctor Strange 2 movie. Because, you know, it's breaching time and space and things like that is much more of a Doctor Strange thing than it is a Spider-Man thing. But hey, you know what? If you're excited for it, I'm not trying to ruin anything for you. I just think that's
cool
that
you're excited about a Spider-Man movie when you haven't been. So,
you
know,
that's
nice.
I'm excited about all the stuff you guys said isn't going to happen. So that's cool.
No. Look, they could easily take Mysterio and have him be this phase as Loki, where he's the likable trickster. I would think that's already treading on ground, but Marvel loves their formula. They love it.
It's fine. I have other movies. It's fine.
His suit looks really cool. I mean, this is our first really clear look at it, and it looks really neat. Very Asgardian.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we should probably move on to our main topic.
Yes. Well, that was part of it. So what does Endgame and the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer mean for the future? We have 4 shows 100% locked down for Disney+. They're filming as we speak kind of thing. 2 shows are still planned, but the 100% part is waffling here and there. So they're more like 75%. What storylines do you think they could adapt for Loki? Where do you think they're taking his character now?
Well, the rumors are that he's going to, like, famous landmarks in history. I don't know.
Okay.
To do what?
I don't know.
Well, what would you like to see with it?
What would I like to see with that? Not that. Not a Loki series at all, really. I mean, I'm going to watch it because I like Tom Hiddleston.
Right, he draws the character.
But it's the character, you know, I don't see how he's going to carry his own show very well.
Well, it's only 6 hours.
I mean, well, the first season is only 6 hours. I mean, they could always bring him back if it does well, right? But, I mean, my problem here with his show, and it might be a problem with WandaVision, but I don't know enough about it yet to be sure about this, is how the timeline works post Endgame, right? So a few factors that are important here. First off, in Endgame, it's now the year 2023, so they're like perpetually in the future, but Loki went missing in 2012, so his show could take place after that point or at any other time. Well, I mean, he can't time travel with just the Tesseract, right?
No, the Tesseract is space. Right. You can only
So he has to be somewhere between 2012 and 2023, I would imagine, unless they do a prequel before the MCU, which I guess they could do too, because he's very old. But I'm a little concerned about it, because is he going to interact with stuff that we've already seen happen as an excuse for cameos, or is he going to be completely doing his own thing? Because if he's doing that, what keeps him being a good guy?
Who says he has to be a good guy?
I think what was really compelling about him throughout the MCU was the back and forth, the idea
that the Magneto Xavier thing.
Now that got, but somehow
he
it didn't
hates
get
that
old
so
and boring.
Much.
But we're about to get 6 hours of that in the Loki show.
But are we though? Because he doesn't have anybody to keep a conscience going.
We don't know what other characters are going to be traveling with him. I doubt the show is just going to be him, like,
well,
and no one else.
Obviously, I just meant the people he cares about. His mother's not there.
This is a good place to bring in Amora, Enchantress,
the one that was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Stop
it, you're both wrong.
Enchantress was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. There was a character called that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Lady Sif episode.
No, you're right. You're right, but it wasn't.
So she wasn't an Asgardian.
It wasn't going to be her.
Oh, okay.
I
doubt they would reuse that actress or anything anyway, but that was a weird storyline in the show. Not the best.
I mean, what do you want to see with Loki?
I would rather see old Norse tales stuff on Asgard, as expensive as it would be, that were Marvelized, you know? Like, my favorite part of the Asgardians is the Norse mythology. And when they play that up and put their own comic book twist on it, it's fun. It's fun. Like, I don't want to see Loki drop down in World War II. I don't want to see him meet Abraham Lincoln or Queen Elizabeth. Like, I would rather see him in space. Like, Asgard knows about other planets and they can travel to other planets. And, you know, why not see him in any of the other nine realms? Like, let's do that instead. Yeah,
having him stay on Earth, I think, would be a poor decision. He has no reason to stay on Earth.
Right? Like, he doesn't care about Midgard. He says that multiple times.
And this is post-Avengers, so he's already gotten beat up by Hulk, so he's probably not that interested in staying around.
But Hulk is in space, too, depending on what time it is.
Well, that's, again, you know, part of the timeline problem. So we also have the Captain Falcon, Winter Soldier, possibly Captain America show.
Right.
I have a theory for it.
Go for it.
So my theory is that we see Sam being very reluctant to take on the mantle of Captain America post-Endgame, right? And Bucky trying to be supportive of that, you know, because I think he and Cap had a separate conversation. And we see it by the end of the first season, we see Sam take on that role that leads into his own Captain America film, which would be the fourth Captain America movie.
Do we know that Bucky and him had their own conversation?
We don't know that, but based on seeing Endgame again, I really paid attention to the end, and it's pretty freaking clear that Bucky knows exactly what's going on in that scene between when Cap goes back in time and old Cap shows up. Like, Bucky seems totally aware of everything that's happening. So
you're saying that, like, Bucky and Cap had a conversation before Cap went back in time? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Right.
I can buy that. I was like, you're going to tell me he was talking to old man Cap somewhere in that timeline and didn't tell anybody?
No. No, just like at some point in the time it took them to take the stones and build the new time machine, sometime between them, Bucky and Cap had a couple of drinks and they were having conversations and made these decisions.
I actually, like, on the second rewatch, I don't think they did. I just think Bucky knows his friend after all
that
these
could be
years.
It too.
Like,
I'd buy either one of those.
Like, the unspoken conversations that friends can have. Like, I just feel that Bucky knew he was saying goodbye to his friend forever at that point.
Derek and I were having a conversation about you right then while you were saying that you didn't even hear.
But I'd be okay with that aspect of it. It's the afterwards when old Cap shows up with the shield and Bucky goes to Sam and he's like, go to him or whatever, right?
Yeah, that was, like, weird for me.
That's a very much I know what's happening line.
So the reason why, in my explanation, why that worked is because Sam clearly didn't know what was going on. Sam was
very confused.
He was confused. He was upset. He thought that Hulk hurt Captain or something like that. So since Bucky had it, like, figured out, I think he told Sam to go so that he could have his questions answered. I don't believe that if Bucky had went too, Bucky would have gotten the shield. I don't think Cap was just there waiting for the first person to come along. So I wasn't accusing.
I wanted Hulk to come up and be like, Steve, right. Take the shield.
I wasn't going to accuse you of that at all.
Or Ant-Man.
I just, like, that's where my head's at. Because a lot of people are like, what about Bucky? I'm like, well, in this one.
But, like, even, like, Sam looks back at Bucky after he's offered the shield and Bucky just kind of, like, nods. Like, it's just the way Bucky handles those three moments feels very much, I'm aware of this scenario.
Yeah.
You know, and that.
Well, I don't think Rachel is arguing that he wasn't aware. He just didn't have a conversation, is what she's saying. He was able to read his friend.
That's a lot of reading a friend. Those three moments are a lot.
Oh,
that's
I don't
a lot.
Know.
They've known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
They have and they haven't. Like, they've known each other for a long time, but not the actual timeline of the movies.
90 years, you know.
But they haven't known each other for 90 years.
I don't know. We honestly don't know how much time took place in between the big battle for, you know, the snappening or something like that.
The snappening. I love it.
Thank you. You're welcome. But, and
with the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Tony's funeral. So I don't know. A lot could have happened. It could have been days. It could have been a week. Everybody is still there on Earth. Nobody has left. And there's a lot of space people. So I imagine it was only a few days.
Well, we don't know when the time jump happens either, when he goes back in time.
That's true.
I mean, it's in a wooded area. We don't know that that's Tony's house, right?
By the way, we had this question last week when we did our review, if all those actors were on set for the funeral.
Yes.
They all were.
They were.
That's insane to me.
Yeah, me too.
That must have been a difficult thing to schedule.
I probably would have bet money if somebody had asked me that they weren't all there. But it turns out they were. That made that shot a lot easier, though, I bet.
Well, sure. It's a nice shot. It looked good, so yeah. I was impressed that they had... I assumed as well that they had just... some of those people were probably there, and then they pasted in others, right? Anyway, I don't want to harp too much on that.
No, you're good. You're good.
My thought process, though, is that the first season of this show will really focus on Sam becoming Captain America, and that'll lead into his own film.
I agree. I think it's a really great...
Kind of like when they release comics leading up into a movie that kind of fill in some of the gaps.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see them doing that. That's probably a pretty good bet.
There's going to be a lot to touch on, too, because that just won't be the only story arc. It'll also be the two of them mourning their best friend.
Sure.
As well as maybe a little bit of resentment on Bucky's side of why he didn't get to... be Captain America, or maybe not. Maybe they don't do that at all. I'm actually hoping they don't. Resentment's never a good look on anybody.
I don't think they
and
will.
I think he understands why. I mean, I don't know.
We
I would think
kind
that,
of understand why.
Yeah, I would think that in universe, if this thing had happened that Derek's talking about, where there had been time and they had had a conversation, then he probably would have gotten an explanation from Steve as to why he. Plus, I mean, Winter Soldier is more interesting than Falcon taken side by side, so Falcon becoming Captain America makes him more interesting than Winter Soldier. So.
I agree.
And let's not forget, too, and I doubt we'll ever see this, but off camera, Cap is still there. Old Cap is around to grab a beer and have conversations if Bucky is upset, if they haven't had that conversation. You know, it's not like he just vanished or anything like that. I don't think we're ever going to see it.
No.
You know. But,
they could reference it off screen all the time, and it totally works.
I wanted to see him walk away with like a walker and like the tennis balls.
I do think it would have been cool to see him get up and he still has the hammer and he walks off or something. Would have been
he just kept it.
Yeah, he kept it all these years.
Asgard.
Like, screw you, Thor. You don't need your hammer.
Well, look, but see, that's part of the time travel problem, right? Because if you have to return the hammer, then I would imagine Gamora killing her past self would be a problem.
Nebula.
Sorry. Like, you know what I mean? Like
all those women characters all look alike.
Yep, even the blue and the green ones.
Well, he's color deficient.
That's true. He's got those glasses though.
I'm not blue-green colorblind. That's not really a thing.
all right, we're spending too much time on Cap and Falcon.
All right, so then that gives us WandaVision.
Yeah, watching their friendship grow will be good. Yeah. So WandaVision...
I can't believe that's the name of the show.
Yeah, first of all, that's awful.
Yeah.
It's absolutely awful. Second of all of us really liked Vision. I think we're glad to see him back. And
Derek actually bet that he would be returning in Endgame, and he did not.
I was hoping that they were going to bring him back because this now kind of forces them to just do a mid-quel show in the two or so year gap between
Civil War.
Well,
it's set in the 50s.
That's not what she said.
No, it's 50s style.
Elizabeth Olsen said it'll have a 50s vibe.
So I feel
everybody ran with that as it's saying it's in the 1950s.
That makes me less excited for it, honestly, because I love period pieces, especially in that time frame.
Well, the period piece thing made no sense to me, though, because how did they get there and how
is
Vision alive?
I mean, Scarlet Witch is very powerful, though,
yeah,
so I mean, who
knows?
She could
alter reality to the point where everybody just thinks it's the 50s. It wouldn't
that's interesting.
But it's like her powers basically are Superman's to a certain degree. Like she can do whatever she wants at whatever time. It's just, you know, not super strength, but she has like impenetrability super telekinesis and reality altering and chaos magic.
Can she kiss people and make them forget?
I mean, why
not? Can she throw a cellophane S?
No cellophane, ass, no care.
Oh, yeah, that's a deal breaker for me.
My issue with the WandaVision show is that it's actually two characters I really am very much interested in, and to see them most likely pigeonholed to like this 2-year gap is a little disappointing. is all.
Maybe it'll be like 24, where they each episode is 24 hours, so that they can milk that for.
I'm interested in seeing where they take both characters, because at this point, Vision has been very specific as like the conscience of the group. Like, he's there.
You could pick up Thor's hammer
to advocate for things and straddle the line and everything and be the mediator. Whereas Scarlet Witch's character has been completely defined by loss.
Loss of her accent, loss of her lover.
Loss of her parents, oh. Loss of her brother, loss of her,
my bad.
The love
Sorry.
Of her life. You know, that's what I was going to say. but
the accent's sad too, right? Yeah. It was very sad in that movie, yeah.
She's just doing what mutants do.
Mutating.
So she was almost going to kill Thanos until he completely took the guns down on her, and I wish I would have seen that. Like, she
would have been more interesting than him just turning into dust.
Could have completely snapped him in half. Like,
there's a lot of problems that I have with Thanos in both movies, Infinity War and Endgame. But the dusting is actually one of the few things I liked, because I like the idea that he had to watch himself lose everything. I like that.
I do too. The way you say that, yeah.
Because if she just kills him, and don't get me wrong, that would have been satisfying, because we wouldn't have known.
I paid more attention to what happened to the Black Order this time around than I did the first time. And my favorite is, so in the comics, they don't explicitly say this, but in the comics, Corvus Glaive and Proxima Midnight are married. And aww. Yeah, it's cute.
They're
right?
A cute couple. Mm,
they
wait,
are.
Aren't they supposed to be siblings, though? Or
well,
like...
no.
Wait, is
this
Game of Thrones?
No, because he has kidnapped all these kids and calls them his children. Like, he's never actually had progeny. Like, nobody's come from his ballsack. But
I know, but the idea of like step siblings getting married is still weird.
Anyway,
so, you know,
she is holding his body. He was. If you watched earlier, Okoye stabs him. Mm-hmm. She is on the ground holding his body, and the two of them just dust away. And I'm like, fuck you guys. Like,
so yeah, so anyway, so like that in itself, watching like Thanos being essentially forced to watch himself lose everything is a cool moment for me. I think it, like, and Tony gets to see it happen, because, mm-hmm. you know, and I think it's a nice
I'm not dead
point,
yet.
You know, for me. It like very little of it makes sense.
Bring out your dead.
It's the same problem. Like, it creates the same problem that I had in Infinity War with the way Spider-Man gets dusted. Is like, I don't understand why different people take convenient amounts of time for the script to dust.
You
right?
know exactly why. You're just upset with it. Like, there's a difference.
It's just silly. But anyway, so what do you guys want to see in WandaVision?
The show doesn't interest me that much. I mean, I'll watch it because they're both somewhat interesting characters, but I don't know. Vision's kind of boring for me in terms of like his personality. He doesn't really have one that we've seen.
It's almost like he's a computer.
It's like he's a computer, basically. And Wanda is more interesting because she's a conflicted character and she's yeah. very powerful, but her power levels are all over the place. And, you know, I'm looking for more consistency in what she can do.
That was my problem with Endgame. Like, why in the world did they not just sick Thor, Captain Marvel, Scarlet Witch, and Doctor Strange on Thanos and just have them completely all together melt his brain?
I mean, any two of those should probably be able to take
right? out. Right? They should have. Like, Captain Marvel and Scarlet Witch held their own, and he had to do outside forces, like cannons from his ship and then the power stones, just to get them out of the picture.
But that's
so.
Why they had to write Doctor Strange into a corner where he's yeah. dealing
right?
with
or
a
like,
tornado the entire time. And then
because he almost whooped Thanos in the last movie when Thanos had four stones
by yep. himself.
By
yeah.
himself, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, like, that's part of the problem, though, is they by Endgame, you've got several heroes who are almost gods.
Those
right?
four held their own against Thanos in one of the two movies.
And so you have to, like, you nerfed half of them in Endgame, right? By throwing Doctor Strange off with the tornado and then what you do with Thor, right? And then you just keep the other two busy with other stuff.
Yeah.
And then you gotta have
like that would have been my plan the entire time. Like, okay, so you four gotta take care of him, and we've got everything else.
Cap is the most brilliant tactician in the Marvel universe in comic books. Like, he's not an idiot. He knows what tools he has. He would not plan to have him and Iron Man and Thor walk up.
But keep in mind that was before everybody was back, though. Like, there was no time to strategize as a group, because when they all show up, he thinks he's standing up to die, right? Because it's him versus literally
which makes
the
him so much
army.
More admirable. Well, I mean, he was already admirable. Right. Let's get real. But
like, that's what that moment is, right? When he tightens the broken shield back
he's
up.
He's willing to die
the
if that's what it
shot,
takes.
It actually
right?
looked painful as he
I know,
put it like
right?
on his wound. I was like, oof.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Those two shots back to back are two of my favorite in the entire saga. But that's it. That's his strategy is to stand until he's dead.
Yeah.
Right.
And we all thought it was coming.
And then everybody
we all
shows
did.
Up.
I was so surprised when it didn't.
But that's why they had to do things the way they did, because they had to keep power levels set, where the only two guys really fighting are Cap and Tony.
Yeah.
Right.
So for the what if storyline, it's really not going to be like a lot of canon stuff. They're starting with Peggy Carter becoming,
which
the
is great.
So for people who don't know, what if may not mean anything to them.
What if we're just offshoot stories, small 1-2 issue stories that the comics writers would come up like, oh, what would happen if this character did this instead?
It was in the 70s when they were very high and they did storylines like, what if Professor Xavier got Ghost Rider's powers?
Yeah.
It was back when comic books maybe took themselves a little less seriously.
So people are coming back. Original actors are coming back for voice work, but it is going to be animated. So Haley Atwell for the Peggy Carter story as Captain America, she'll be there.
And
she's doing the voice.
In the comic books, she's in The Exiles has been Captain America.
Multiple
and then,
times, yeah.
She's in a couple of games.
Yeah.
Which I think was where they first released the Peggy Carter like visuals mm-hmm. of what she's going to look like as Captain.
Just to clarify, so the fourth show is a What If animated yeah. show.
It's called that. It's based off of the What If storylines. And
it's the only one that's out of launch, isn't it? That one's,
yeah.
That one's...
No,
That and The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Well, that was the only of the yeah. Marvel shows that was out yeah. of launch. Yeah.
Now, I imagine we'll see another show before the end of the year, but...
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they did a beginning of the year, like mid-season launch mm-hmm. of a show to kind of correspond with like normal TV schedules, because there's
as
kind
opposed
of a
to
drought.
What like DC Universe is doing, where they're waiting till one show ends and then starting another show. This seems yeah. to be what they're doing every time yeah. now.
So the other two shows, Hulk and She-Hulk, and then Hawkeye, are almost 100% confirmed at this point. There are some wafflings here and there. So what do you guys want to see from a Hawkeye story?
Not Hawkeye. I want to see his daughter.
That's part of my problem. Like, Endgame is the first time I actually was interested in.
Yeah,
Clint,
he had a really good storyline in Endgame.
It was really good and compelling, and he was interesting for the first time for me. I don't know what I want to see from him, because he also at this after Endgame, he doesn't really seem like the kind of guy who would want his daughter involved in anything like that.
Yeah,
I agree.
I would think he'd be done too, just like Cap, and he earned it. You know, he had a long career too that we don't get to see all of. So I would imagine you go home to the farm. I don't know that there's more to tell.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's got to be a setup for a young Avengers, right? Like I doubt we're going to see Kate Bishop, especially if it's leading with his daughter, or we do see Kate Bishop and he keeps his daughter completely out of it. But it's got to be a setup for Young Avengers. I mean,
maybe the show is just his daughter being young Hawkeye.
The thing is, we're going to see a different actress. It's not going to be.
You think so?
Well, that's Joe Russo's kid. She made a cameo in that. Yeah, it was just a cameo and...
But
I think they're going to recast, most likely.
A lot of people
likely.
Get their starts because it's somebody you know.
And then a lot of times you're Sofia Coppola, so
see,
we don't know.
I would want them to do Cassie Lang and Kate Bishop or whatever. No, I want to see those two, like the Young Avengers. Yeah. Is Kate
That'd
Bishop
cool.
his daughter? Not his daughter.
Not his daughter.
Okay.
She takes up the name Hawkeye after he dies, and while he's presumed dead and going under the name Ronan, she's Hawkeye. And then when he wants to reclaim it, she just goes by Kate Bishop.
Well, I want
to
see those two, the two young Avengers, whatever it is, whether it's Kate Bishop or his daughter or whatever, mm-hmm. somebody taking up the mantle of Hawkeye and Cassie Lang. I want to see them go out together and
that would
do something.
Yeah.
That would be a cool start to the Young Avengers. Or
new characters would be fantastic. And they could even throw in some others, like Shuri could join them.
Sure, that would be great too, like, any of that.
And that way you don't have to wait for Shuri to take over for Black Panther. She can already have her own thing, which is what fans want.
See, I want Shuri to basically take, not actually be Iron Man, but basically take over that role.
Like, because, Ironheart or whatever.
I mean, it doesn't have to be Ironheart,
right? She's rich,
right?
And she's smart, she's the and only she's
one,
techie.
She's the only one intelligent enough to build technology like that. Yeah. She's the only one who could pull it off. And I think that losing that symbolism of those suits that people have come to just know as part of the MCU would be missed. And she could do it without having to stay in her brother's shadow.
I would be completely fine with that. It would be a whole new direction. It would be a lot of fun.
It would be way different than the comic books. So yeah. That would be nice for people that are comic books fans. They'd not know what is coming. Mm-hmm. You know,
there's not that treading on.
Yeah. Right, you know? In comic books, it's very usual for the family to stay together. You know, the Batman's children becomes a Robin, you know.
And they all stay in Gotham and never leave.
Yeah, which...
Sometimes they go to Bloodhaven.
That's true.
In real life, there would be a mix of both, you know, like... We see, as a joke, Chris Pratt's son's favorite character is Captain America, and he jokes about it every year when his kid dresses up as Captain America. But that would happen in real life. So if Shuri was inspired to become an Iron-type character because she has vibranium tech and she's rich enough and she's smart enough, then, you know, that would be really cool, and it'd be more reflective, I think, of what would actually happen.
There's some cool, like, some wish list stuff that I had involved her character a bit, like this Iron Man kind of route for her, I think would be super cool, and a way for them to do something that kind of harkens back to the comics without having to pay a fortune is they could turn Tony into an AI, which happens in the comic books, and he could do the voice work, which takes 2 or 3 days, and you don't have to pay him $50 million,
right.
But you can keep certain aspects of the MCU moving forward. And, you know, maybe she finds a file or something, or she creates it herself. It seems like she might be capable of doing that on her own, right? And you could kind of continue that.
So, Disney announced today all of their dates for the next 4 years.
No titles attached.
No titles. And this is every date. They announced stuff for Pixar and Star Wars and Disney Animated as well as Marvel. But they specifically listed out which ones are which, and 8 of them were reserved for Marvel.
How many a year was it? 3?
So 2020 has 2, and then 2021 and 2022 go back to 3. So we haven't had a 2-film year from Marvel since 2016, when it was Civil War and Doctor Strange.
Well, Endgame will have made enough for 2 movies, so I think
that's true.
Well, 3.
This year has 3.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, I'm saying it'll carry over.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's got to be Black Widow and the Eternals, since those are the ones that they are for casting and filming. Like, those have got to be it, right?
And
like,
it could be Doctor Strange. The next one.
It could be Doctor Strange.
You
already have most of your cast for
that. Or Black Panther 2.
I feel like 2021 is Shang-Chi, Black Panther 2, and Doctor Strange 2.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, part of me thinks that if they can get a script together for Doctor Strange, they might want to fast-track it. Because otherwise, what that means is in 2020, you end up with one movie is a character who's no longer alive in your story, and the other is a brand new...
They confirm it's just done.
Right, and then the other is a brand new introduction. So that's not a strong box office for them. Bringing Doctor Strange in, who saves the day and is kind of your lead hero, you know, in a lot of ways, because Captain Marvel is going to be off Earth a lot,
yeah,
right? I think would be a strong box office decision if they can pull it together.
Yeah, that's a good plan. They have a script in place. They could easily start going. You know, they have most of their cast returning, right, as opposed to having to cast new faces.
So I feel like if I was Marvel, that's what I would want to have happen. Is to get Doctor Strange out in 2020.
And I feel like starting in August, we're going to see a roadmap. They'll have a big press
conference.
Well,
they said after Far From Home comes out,
right?
Because that's the end of Phase 3, that they'll that they'll announce their upcoming slate.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that something happened. Maybe it's the multiverse thing happens in Far From Home, or then it won't be such a surprise when the X-Men are coming or something like that. You know?
Yeah.
Well, they basically said the X-Men are not part of the current 5-year plan, which means I don't see them in the next 2 years. There's no way.
Okay. It didn't have to be X-Men, Fantastic Four, or whatever else.
Right. They said nothing about Fantastic Four or Doctor Doom. So I imagine
I really want to see
Black Panther's villain be Doctor Doom. The two of them being kings and rulers of made up countries, and like, you could get some fun bureaucratic
We could have another Star Wars episode one. We
You know it's going to be better than
trade
that.
Yeah, trade negotiations.
You know it's going to be better than that. But can you imagine, you know, Victor Von Doom and T'Challa up there at the UN just having like a spat? So they hate each other on a personal level and then on a superhero level as well.
Can we keep it the same actor as the original Fantastic Four movies?
Julian McMahon, you want him back? Like, so what's the matter with you?
That's in my head what I'm picturing, and I'm not liking it as much.
I saw an article, but my feed reloaded, and I didn't get to click on it. But Chris Evans may have said something that had to do with him wanting to come back as
No, he
Human
said he
Torch.
Thought it would be really fun to to play both of those roles on screen at the
I'm
same
time. I'm fine
with
it. I'm totally fine
I'm
with
not
it.
Really, because he wasn't... I mean, he was fine as Johnny Storm, but it just was a
I feel like
kidding.
Only if they let Michael B. Jordan do the exact same thing.
Yeah,
if they're
both
two Johnny Storms from different worlds and they come across their their Eric Killmonger and Steve Rogers and they're like, whoa. Like,
that'd
it's a total
it'll be
Keanu
like that
moment.
Spider-Man meme where they're like, yeah.
If the MCU doesn't pull off that Spider-Man meme at some point, I'm gonna be sad about that. So we totally glossed over the Hulk She-Hulk show.
Because nothing is really confirmed about it.
They did confirm, the Russo brothers did confirm that Hulk's injury from the snap is permanent.
Yes.
Which I think is an interesting character point because
it does mean that Professor Hulk is sticking around. If they continue to use him, he's not going to be their big tank anymore. And with Captain Marvel there, that kind of makes sense. I get it. So it leads the way for him to be the brains behind everything and the leader. And he can pass the torch for big, angry tank monster to his cousin.
I don't know Spider-Man that well. Is he not as smart as I think he is? I feel like in the comic books, he was always portrayed as very, very smart.
Peter Parker's an intelligent guy. He's a little inventor, but he's like middle of the road. Like in the comics, the top three smartest people. Reed Richards, Hank Pym, and Tony Stark for the longest time. And then they came out with saying that Moon Girl, the 8-year-old black girl from New York, was smarter than all three of them. And that was much more recent.
Well, we know Shuri is smarter than any of them right now that are alive. So, I mean, I don't know why she wouldn't be the, you know,
right. No,
brains.
I'm with you there. I mean, the Hulk storyline is kind of funky.
They're different. They're different kinds. Like, she's tech, and he's not really tech. He's more anatomy and
he's definitely not time travel.
Almost figures it out. But he does say, like, in the cafe scene, in the diner scene, that it's not his area of expertise. And they have tried to make those separations in the MCU over the years, even though it kind of gets blurred from time to time. But I don't know. It's a very expensive CGI character that can't do anything more than be a scientist now.
Yeah.
And that's kind of an interesting creative decision.
And they wrote him into the part where he's permanently the CGI character. We can't, like, he's not supposed to.
In the comic books, doesn't he get separated out into two separate entities at one point?
And they could do that. Yeah. They totally could.
They merged the two off screen. They can bring them back off screen, you know.
They could do that too.
My biggest confusion about this show is we've never really heard about what the universal contract is for a serialized medium, right? We've known that Universal owns Hulk and Marvel can't make solo Hulk films. He can only be in 40%
anymore
of the movie or less. Well, because they need a deal every time with Universal, yes, right? So the question is, they can't make a solo film with the Hulk. What does that mean for a serialized series?
I believe it means Universal and Marvel are coming to a deal, because the more time passes, the more rumors about Namor are popping up too. Like, rumors, murmurs, casting information. Like,
but Universal can do that without Marvel. Universal owns Namor.
No, that's what I mean. Like, I believe a deal is coming, and they're going to reveal it soon. Like, the Marvel and Sony, like the Disney and Fox, I think they're coming to an agreement, and we just don't know the details yet. Because the more time passes, the more information we get about other characters, including Namor.
Yeah.
So we might be seeing a Hulk movie with Abomination and the leader, and that's what they're doing.
You talked about glossing over that. Well, how about we didn't even talk about any of the shows that are on Hulu that are coming up that are in the MCU. Ghost Rider is one, then the Howard the Duck show and that whole whatever that group is called. I don't even remember.
And then I totally forgot about all that.
Yeah, I mean that's all.
I mean, Cloak and Dagger and the Runaways are still there.
Right. Patton Oswalt's going to voice MODOK, right?
MODOK.
Excuse me. On one of those shows.
Pretty good, actually. That's a good casting.
But you know, they said that the Ghost Rider is Robbie Reyes is going to be in the show, but it's not the same Robbie Reyes that was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is kind of confusing.
I thought it was the same actor.
It is the same actor.
Then that's dumb.
What? Yeah, so it's the same actor. It's the same version of Ghost Rider, but it's not that incarnation of that version of Ghost Rider.
That's what they said. I don't understand it either. Hopefully it was a miscommunication somewhere.
Yeah, that's
because I actually really liked him. He looked really cool for a TV budget as Ghost Rider. It looked better than the Nick Cage movies. Like,
it just seems like overly convoluted to be like, yeah, we're gonna keep you and we're gonna keep the character you were playing.
Gabriel Luna, I think, is the actor's
name.
Not
that same version. It just seems unnecessarily convoluted.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's a very weird situation, but all those are in the MCU as well. So I wish I would go with a Johnny Blaze show, because Johnny Blaze is, you know, when you think Ghost Rider, that's probably who you're thinking of. And, you know, everybody loves a good motorcycle.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, you can talk crap on the Nicolas Cage version, but there was some cool stuff happening.
I like the
in those
original
movies.
It's pretty campy and silly now, but, you know, at the time.
But Nicolas Cage is perfect for campy and silly, so he embraced that, and those movies were good. But yeah, I mean, all those shows, it's not just Howard the Duck. Isn't there like a whole group that's coming together or something? I can't remember the name of it.
I'm drawing a blank on it. I think that's
Marvel
the one that
group.
MODOK is.
It's like they were doing the Defenders. It's the Offenders, isn't it?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because I was like, it's the Defenders, but yeah, it was
the Offenders.
And
I'm pretty sure that's the one that MODOK is in. That Patton Oswalt is voicing.
There's some other characters that I'm not familiar with. But...
And those are going to be slightly more adult shows because they're on Hulu, and Disney is now like they own a controlling stock in Hulu, and
they're
looking to
buy all of it.
Yeah. So they'll have two streaming networks and three different cable television and one network. And
it's fine, guys. It's totally fine for the industry, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So here's a question.
Great.
So Howard the Duck is getting a show on Hulu.
It better be Seth Green.
It's supposed to be the MCU, right? And he exists in the MCU as Seth Green, voiced by Seth Green. So the question is that the Howard Duck we're going to get?
Well, everything is a rip in time and space now, so who knows? All this could
be
different.
That's true. It could be a completely
different They have this
version.
Cop-out anytime they want to do something like that. Now, now they're also saying that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not going to reference any of the stuff that happened in Endgame.
I heard that today. I wanted your take on that because I haven't been watching Agents
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I haven't even
watched the trailer for Season 6, although I'm very excited for it. I've really liked all the seasons so far. But yeah, that's really weird. I don't understand that.
I'm okay if it exists outside of it, but don't tell me that it's part of the MCU.
That's
and,
the thing.
Like,
is in the beginning, it was like, they're all connected. That was the quote that they all kept sharing. It's all connected. It's all connected. They had like the cleanup from Thor the Dark World.
Right.
That was a big part of the show. And they had the stuff that happened in Winter Soldier.
Yep.
And now you're going to say like the biggest two Avengers movies that have happened in the entire series are not going to be referenced at all.
Well,
maybe they happen.
The single largest event to ever happen in that universe.
I mean, maybe the stuff takes place before Infinity War. It's possible, although I'm pretty sure in this last season they referenced Thanos was in Wakanda, because the guy that played Graviton went to go fight him, and then they had to stop him before, because he would rip Thanos apart based on the power
level. We can't have that happen,
right? He was
sure
insanely powerful. Like, he'll crack Earths with his mind. So
Jesus,
yeah. But so I don't really know how they're going to do that, but I don't know. I think they're just going to ignore it and do the show because they've got two more seasons.
Like, they've got a decent amount of stuff to go off of anyway. They have a good thing going.
They have
like,
all the Inhumans stuff they can do, and you know.
Yeah, it's just confusing for a lot of people, and they've come out and said that like the Disney Plus shows are supposed to be much more connected and closely tied to the film,
which is weird.
And like
I thought that was the point.
That's the same thing they were supposed to do with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah,
and that was what they were like originally. It was
pitching.
The Defenders too. Was that like, well, this, you know, the Battle of New York and the incident and all, and then that none of that went anywhere. It never mattered, right? And so they have to prove to me that it's different this time.
Apparently there's an evil Phil Coulson in season 6. I don't really know what's going on at this point. I really hope they're not jumping the shark because I really like the show. But
okay, so we're going to wrap up. Before we go, fan service, what's a movie that you want to see in phase 4? Something new that they're completely introducing? Because we know what sequels are most likely coming out.
I'm very excited for Shang-Chi. I think that it's not probably what you're looking for, but no, I'm really excited for that movie. I really want him to do it in like a very Asian kung fu like style, wide shots, not a lot of cuts on the fight scenes. You know, that would be a totally different cinematography experience from anything we've seen in the MCU.
I feel like that is the Shang-Chi should be everything that Iron Fist was supposed to be.
That I wanted for, yeah, I said the same stuff about Iron Fist before that came out, but it wasn't done that way. But yeah, I hope they do that. And get an Asian director that, I don't, did they get a director yet?
They did.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, hopefully somebody's familiar with martial arts films. Yes.
He has a background in that.
They are.
But it's a whole different beast.
The idea of watching like potentially a big martial arts film like Hero, like the ones I really, really love.
Yeah, but within the MCU?
And you mix it with magic like Shang-Chi has, that's going to be fun.
It's a difficult task, but if they pull in the right people who know what they're doing and they have that kind of Marvel budget,
They have the budget and the push in the industry and pull in the industry. So,
but they have to want to.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's the key, right? Like that's why I'm saying it's their decision. It's their movie to fail on at this point.
Right.
Right. I mean, for mine, it was kind of the Shuri thing that I mentioned. I think it would be really cool to see her become her own hero, and I'd like to see the idea of mech suits continuing on because I think they're a really fun thing to watch, even if it's not Tony. So
I've mentioned this multiple times. I'm eager to see them straddle the line of good and bad and have people operate in the gray area. I think by introducing Ghost in Ant-Man and the Wasp, you can bring her in for the Thunderbolts, which can lead to the Dark Avengers and like just a lot of doors still on planet Earth with people who operate in those gray areas. If they're able to make another deal with Sony, they could bring Venom into that. And
wasn't
Agent
Bullseye
Venom
in the Dark Avengers? They could bring Bullseye back from Daredevil.
So here's an interesting question, because I've seen some articles around this topic, and I'm curious what your opinions are. Do you think there should be any more Avengers movies?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like actually titled Avengers.
Yes. Well, it could be New Avengers or whatever, or Avengers. Sure. I think there should be.
I think there should be, because the Avengers lineup has changed so many times in the comics that it makes sense for the image and the symbolism of the Avengers are more important than the cast.
So for me, part of me thinks there shouldn't be, and there's a very specific reason for it, because I like your reasoning, and I'm totally on board with that.
Good.
But if they wanted to stay in-universe, though, there's this thread since the 2012 movie Avengers that they are the Avengers, right? That if they're not going to save the Earth, then they'll avenge it, and they do. That's what the Infinity Saga is them avenging, right? That's how it ends, is with them... They lost, right? And they avenged it. Even Tony makes the line.
Right, I'm following you there.
So part of me thinks maybe then that's done.
Except, I mean, in the comic books they do that all the time, and they're still called the Avengers.
But that this was a very specific thread that they tugged on multiple times in the saga, right? The actual name, the fact that they call themselves the Avengers.
I think you're trying to be clever, and I appreciate that, but it
wasn't my thing to be clever about.
Avengers has made them so much money, and they're not just going to dump that name.
They're not going to dump the branding. They're not going to dump the A or anything like that. I'm making just a point about the calling. Like, do you need to call anything Avengers anymore? I don't know that you do. It's a Marvel movie. People are going to go see it. It doesn't have to be called Avengers.
They're going to still call it Avengers, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
We will see, guys. Okay, so, join us next week for our review of Detective Pikachu. Also, let us know in the comment section what you want to see from Phase 4, from any of the Disney Plus shows, the Hulu shows, anything going forward with the MCU. It all is connected and it's all disconnected. We don't know.
I do have a question for you guys before we go. Is there what movie left in the 2019 slate are you now most excited to see?
Of MCU movies?
Just in general. Any 2019 release?
I mean, probably Star Wars for me. Yeah, I'm a Star Wars guy no matter what, and it's going to be there for me.
Detective Pikachu. I have no idea why I'm so hyped for that film. I cannot.
I also have no idea why you're so excited.
I can't
for that
explain
film.
It. It is inexplicable. But I am.
Fair enough.
Hype. So much hype.
I'm torn between the live action Aladdin and Gemini Man. So.
There's a surprise.
Two Will Smith sandwich.
I know. I'm so
it's going to be Gemini Man because you get two Will Smiths in no, that movie. Doesn't,
there's a real big opportunity for Gemini Man to be terrible. Yeah. Okay. So I'm not saying it's going to be good. I'm very interested in it. It's the first movie ever shot at 120 frames per second.
Right. It's not Will Smith that you're interested in. It's just that
Will Smith gets me to go see the movie. Yes. Okay. The 120 frames per second is very interesting to me because the high frame rate of the Hobbit movies was funky to watch. This is much higher than that. And this is the first real time a comic book, a non-comic book movie is using this de-aging technology at a high level. And I'm very curious to see how well they can pull it off, which was likely not a very big budget. So.
All that was a setup so that he could talk about Will Smith.
It was. That's what this entire show was.
Yeah, exactly. The whole time he's been waiting. When can I bring this question up so I can talk about Will Smith?
I pitched the show. Derek, I want to have a Marvel and DC podcast. And he's like, well, what about just a Will Smith podcast?
And you were like, well, let's compromise.
Let's just do a movie podcast.
All right. Well, happy 10th anniversary to the Star Trek Kelvin timeline.
Thanks.
That's tomorrow.
Okay.
So
that's more cool. Of a red shirts and runabouts thing, but whatever.
Yeah, well, you know.
You guys are just, you know.
He hijacks the show.
Continuing the talk, so I just figured I'd throw that in there.
All right, guys, we are done for tonight. Let us know what you think's going to happen in the MCU Phase 4. We're always open to ideas, and we probably could have talked about this for another hour or so. You can follow Ryan at Buster Props on Instagram and Facebook. You can follow Derek at The Star Trek Dude on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me at Siren Ray on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And Vero.
You can follow Screen Heroes at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter. And you can follow every show on the Heroes Podcast Network at Heroes Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We love you. Goodbye.